y'all for being here this morning, and we thank Amy for being here, and we're going to ask Amy if she'll come and lead us before the throne of grace in worship music.
In Hunt Springs Baptist, how y'all doing this morning? Hey Mona, what's happening? It is so good to be with y'all this morning. It is a blessing to come and share the Lord Jesus Christ and lift up his name and to worship with you this morning. So just worship with me. If you're familiar with the songs that I share this morning, worship with me.
I believe that there was a man named Jonah who lived in the belly of a whale. I believe that there is a beautiful heaven. I believe there's a burning hell. I believe that Moses led God's children all across the dry land. And he parted the waters and they walked across dry land. I believe in the blessed hope, look in the flood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book in the blood. I believe that Mary was a virgin when she heard Jesus was on his way. I believe if you look inside a lowly manger, you see God laying in the hay. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose up on the third day. I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud, he'll call his church away. I believe in the blessed hope, the book in the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back one day. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope. I believe in the book in the blood. Yes, I believe in the blessed hope, the book in the blood, and there is no other way. That my Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book in the blood. Yes, I believe in the blessed hope, book in the blood, and there is no other way that my Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming back someday. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, believe in the book in the blood. I believe in the blessed hope, yes, I believe in the Holy Word. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book and the blood.
Aren't you glad this morning, Hunt Springs, that you believe in the book and the blood and the hope that Jesus Christ is coming back someday to rapture his church, to call us home? And I want to tell you this morning, There's one thing for certain. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Bobby, can you get back and start back over that track? I'm so sorry. I got talking and got caught up. Yes. I'm sorry. Get talking and the track gets rolling. And but God is good. I'm thankful this morning there is hope in the name of the Lord. He is the strength of our everyday needs. Crowds have lined the narrow streets to see this man from Galilee. Just a carpenter, some say, leading fools astray. But many kneel to give him praise. In his eyes they glimpsed a power, seized the hope of all men. And he knows his Father's mind, he speaks his Father's words, for he comes in the name of the There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. And there is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. My plans have fallen through. When my strength is nearly gone, you ever have one of them days when there's nothing left to do? Just depend on you and the power of your as we call upon your name. Your weakness through strength he can show. We can know the Father's plan, extend the Master's hands when we come in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. And there is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he.
Blessed is he.
praise in the house this morning. I'm thankful for that hope because, you know, church, some days our strength runs thin, but I'm thankful this morning that there is strength. And I want to tell you this morning, the answer is Jesus. Hard to believe what the world's come to. Hard to wrap my head around everything on the news. Hard to sit back and watch through all this mess. What's it gonna take to fix this brokenness? Tired of watching politics making us enemies. Tired of seeing anger and violence living out in the streets. And I'm tired of addiction taking life's way too young. Oh, what's it gonna take to fix what this world's become? The answer is Jesus. The answer is love. And for everything we need, and I believe in Him will be enough. The answer is Jesus. The answer is love. And for everything, and I believe in Him will be enough. Time for the church to go and be salt and light. Time for us to be the hands and feet of Christ. Time to speak healing and truth wherever we go. And pour out grace and mercy because we know, church, the answer is Jesus. The answer is love. And for everything we need, believing He will be enough. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Him. For everyone who wonders how to heal this broken world we're in, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Jesus, the answer is love, and for everything we need, I believe in Him will be enough. The answer is Jesus, the answer is Him. For everything we need, I believe in Him will do enough. The answer is Jesus. See what is on the news out in Memphis. It's so much violence. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to say one more song toward the invitation. But when you stop and you see all that's going on in this world and things that go on in our lives and things around us, and we wonder how we're going to get through, and we wonder how, be encouraged because look to Jesus because He is the answer. Thank you to God. Give Him praise.
Thank you, Amy. Y'all give her another hand. Thank y'all. And if you'll open your Bibles this morning and give all these young people a hand as they journey across the street there. And be praying about us. We're going to get the nursery fixed up over there near the children's church and try to get a TV over there so we could cast the sermon over there so that they can hear when they're working with nursery and we're trying to update the nursery equipment. We don't realize how quick that stuff gets out of date and gets worn. So be in prayer about that too. We want just to honor God here and do the things He has for us. This morning as we look, we're going to be looking at Exodus 17. And we've already been in the book of Exodus. If you remember last week, we was looking at chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, where God was testing them so they would trust Him to provide for all of their survival, all their salvation. But they wanted to test God. And so if you remember that, we need to trust God when He tests us, because He tests us to teach us to trust Him. That's the way that works. And as the Israelites had been freed from Egypt, the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and God was leading them out of their bondage by Moses. Moses is interceding for the people. And we pick up in verse 8, it says, "Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I'll station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until sunset. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.' Moses built an altar and named it, 'The Lord is my banner.' And he said, 'The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation.'" Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we look at this text this morning, I know everyone here is battling something. I know everyone here is facing something next week that they are uncertain of the outcome. I know every one of us sometimes, Lord, we just fight on our own, and Lord, we just get weary and we get tired. Lord, I just pray that all of us this morning could refocus on You and just say, Jesus is my battle banner. Jesus is a place that we can come and regroup, a place we can come for instruction about how to go forward, a place that can be a rally point that we know that God's protection will bring us victory in the end. Lord, we know that Your purposes will stand, and so we should look to You and depend on You in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus is our battle banner because the battle belongs to the Lord. Here Moses named this place, "The Lord is my banner." When he's talking about a banner, he's talking about like a flag, you could say, years later. But in this instance, in this time, around 1400 B.C., when it says banner, it can mean a standard also. That'd be like the flag pole. That would be like the pole you put the flag on. So when he's holding up that staff, it is the idea that it's representing God. It's representing God's sovereignty over the situation, representing God's power and God's protection, His presence with them. You know, our song says in the next morning, the flag was still there. That's the idea. It's the idea of looking to something to help orient you when you're in battle. We all have battles of different ways. If you think about it, all our battles go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. When sin entered the world through disobedience, in trusting God's provision and God's protection for all we needed, with sin come all these curses. Curses on the ground, curses with health, death entered the world, sickness entered the world, conflict, chaos, all these things entered the world. And God told Satan, in verse 15 of chapter 3 of Genesis, I will put enmity between you and the woman, talking about Eve, and between your seed, that's Satan and all those he influences, and her seed, which is eventually going to be Jesus Christ through the Israelites. And you shall bruise him on the head, but he will. You shall bruise him on the heel, but he will bruise you on the head. In other words, in the end, Jesus wins. And if we're on Jesus' side, in the end, we win, no matter how fierce the fighting and the battle gets. Now, when we get saved, there's really nothing we do except for recognize that God is sovereign, that God is gracious, that God is merciful, that God sent his Son to die for us. You know the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He came to this earth. I say this all the time. He lived the life we should have lived. Hey, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. He died the death we all deserve. He was buried. 3 days later, God raised him so we'd know that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice in our place. If you want to get saved, it's real, real hard work. Now, everything has gone up. It really has. Gas has gone up. Power bills has gone up. Everything's gone up except the cost of salvation. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, what must we do to do the work of God? He said, this is the work of God. Believe in his Son. It's that simple. Everybody can afford salvation by believing in Jesus. So when we get saved, God does all the work. He does all the battle for us. If you remember, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And when he was putting the plagues on Egypt, so Pharaoh would let them go. If you remember, every time something happened to the Egyptians, if they looked around, the lights were still on over there with the Israelites. The Israelites didn't have no frogs. They didn't have no gnats. They didn't have no bulls. None of that stuff was happening to them till you get to the last plague, and that was the Passover. And what did God tell them? He told them to put blood on the door header and or the lintel and on the side post and stay inside under the blood, and I'll pass over you. So he gave them some responsibility. Theological terms for this is God's sovereignty and our human responsibility. We do have some responsibility. God saves us by providing a way, but we got to believe. And so he delivered them. And then when he brought them out to the Red Sea, here's the first big battle they faced. Now, we know in chapter 13, he's leading them out. There was a quicker way to the promised land, just a few days away. But God said, I got to take you in a zigzag path and get y'all around, because if y'all see all these big warring nations and you see all this trouble, y'all will fear and run back to Egypt. So he's taking them around here. He's already protecting them. And as they are leaving and they get to the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea, if you remember, they look behind them and the Egyptians are following them. Pharaoh's army is following them. That's like us when we get saved. Sometimes here's what you got to do. When you first get saved, I'll tell you this. Run from your past. Y'all got me? That stuff that you thought you could do on your own and you can't do, run. Trust God to stop it. He said he put his cloud behind them. They were in the light at night. The Egyptians was in the dark. The cloud separated them. The Egyptians couldn't get to them. He told Moses to stretch out your hand with the staff and part the water. And as the Israelites walked across on dry land, God removed the cloud, his presence from behind them, let the army come in. They're chasing them. All the Israelites had to do was run. Now, if you're really afraid of something, run. You know, I have seen snakes. It didn't bother me. I shoot them, chop the head off, do something. But I have got tangled up with them in the dark, and I run, right? When you barefooted and you get on something squishy, it's time to go if it's wiggling. Amen? Run from sin. Run from the things that are unholy. Run from the things that that's going to happen to you. I had a professor one time that served as an ambassador to South Africa, and he said that he really understood his salvation. He'd been saved a long time, but he's watching the waves come in on the coast one morning and watched somebody out there playing in the water. had got them or undertow or something, and somebody saved them, and they pulled them up on the beach, and they got them to go. And he said, when that young person realized what had happened and he was saved, he said he turned around, and with his hands in his feet, he was digging in the sand, running away from the waves. And my professor said, you know what I used to do? I'd go back and play in the waves. He said, I realized right then part of being saved is to crawl tooth and nail away from what used to hold you in bondage. So God has freed them. God has freed us. But sometimes we come to battles, and guess what? It's time for us to fight. And that's what we see here. It says, then Amalek, which is a grandson of Esau, and you know it's always a struggle between Esau and Jacob. He's a grandson. He's first among nations. They was nomadic. They formed a group, and how they got their power, how they got their possessions, they attacked other people and took what they had. First form of socialism. No, I'm joking. I ought not have said that. I'm joking. But they always attack, and they do things. And so here, what it says here is that it says then, so it's an attack from behind. So in Numbers chapter 24, we find out that they actually attacked the women and the children that was weary and tired, because we've already learned that they was coming in groups from the beginning of chapter 17 into Rephidim. They was coming in groups, and they attacked from behind. If Satan is going to attack you, most of the time it's from behind. If Satan's going to attack you, this, a friend had just called me about this last week when I was writing this sermon. He'd been reading them Bible verses we send out. He had got closer to the Lord. Some things happened in his life. He'd started going to church. He was doing good, and he was going. They was having a revival. He was going. Well, his family got upset with him because they couldn't do the things they used to do on Sunday, and now he was interfering with their weekly night activities. And he called me and said, I just need somebody to pray with me, because he said, I was going to give up and not go tonight and go do what we used to. And then I realized that the Lord wants me to go to that revival. My point is this. Sometimes our closest friends and closest relatives might be the ones that attack us. But we got to keep standing for Jesus. Because here, these are the Israelites' cousins. Y'all get that? Jacob, the Israelites, Esau, the Amalekites. And so they are cousins. However, they are a nomadic tribe that doesn't believe in God. They attack them, and when they attack them from behind, we need to know that Jesus is our banner. So this is a battle plan. We see what happens here. It says, then Amalek came against Israel at Rephidim, and in verse 9, So the word so means Moses had to do something. He come up with a plan. Here's his command. Here's his plan. He commanded Joshua. This is the first time we see Joshua, which is a descendant of Joseph, who we know as a descendant of Joseph. Joseph was good at leadership. Joseph was good at providing salvation. And here Joshua's name means my God delivers. And so this is where we first introduced to Moses's a helper, and he says here, choose men for us to go out and fight against Amalek. So anytime we get attacked, the first thing we need to do is gather other believers to fight with us. Y'all hear that? We're not in this alone. You say, well, I thought God fights with me. God does, but God uses other believers to partner us with. God unites us to fight together. How do we do that? Prayer. Encouragement, coming along beside us, studying the Bible together. Hey, just going and sitting with somebody. I had a good friend I called over and over a long time ago when we first moved to Sanford. I met him. I'm like, you want somebody to drive you? No, I can drive, because he liked to drive, kind of like me. And then finally one day, way into his radiation, he called and said, could you ride with me? Now, he still wanted to drive. He was strong enough, didn't want me to drive. But can you ride with me? Well, sure I can. You know, sometimes in our battles and things that's going on, the Lord just puts somebody with us to be along with us so we know God's presence is with us. Sometimes he puts somebody with us to help do the work we can't do. Sometimes God puts us together with other people, and we might think they're there to help us, and we end up helping them. But we got to come together. So he tells them, go choose some men. Well, this ought not to be bad. About 2 million people left Egypt. But think about what they left with. Nothing. They didn't really have no warrior tools. Some of them could have picked up a few swords from the Egyptian soldiers because it says their bodies was washing up on the seashore when the Red Sea closed on them. But most of them had the things they gave them from household, from their household utensils, like a butcher knife. Can you imagine going up against this big army with a butcher knife or a plow handle or whatever it might be? They had these things, but he told them, assemble for us who? The ones that's able to fight. Not everybody's going to be involved in this, but go get some believers together, and then me and Aaron and her will station ourselves on top of the hill, verse 9, with the staff of God in my hand. So Moses has got the staff of God in his hand. So what are y'all going to do? You need a battle plan. If you any sickness, sadness, hurt, persecution, Satan attacks us in so many ways that this is not just about a holy war, but also we see in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Satan is doing things. If we knew what Satan was doing, we would be so depressed, we'd probably be scared to go out of the house. I knew this lady when I was real little. She was real superstitious. Friday the 13th. Truth, she didn't get out of bed. I stayed with my cousin one time. We had to take her a meal. Why? She didn't get out of bed. If we saw everything that was going on around us, we would be paralyzed. But God protects us because his hand of protection is over us. But when these spiritual forces and influences have other people or sickness or whatever might attack us, then we need to rally these believers together. But we still must depend on God. Look, because Moses here says, I will station myself with the staff of God. In chapter 4, verse 20, when Moses left Midian to come back to Egypt, it says that him and his wife and Aaron, and it says, and he had the staff of God. It represents God's presence with Moses. It represents God's power. Here it represents God's presence, his power, also his sovereignty over the situation. Pastor James has been teaching us eschatology. Guess what? In the end, Jesus wins. All the enemies is defeated. They're put down. Hey, we're going to be up there with Christ. I was reading the other morning. He's coming on a white horse, and guess what? We're riding with him. And we're going to see him cast the false prophet and the Antichrist first out into the outer darkness. And then in the end, he casts Satan out with them. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no hurt. In the end, Jesus wins. But until then, we see that we got to depend on God like the victory's up to him. And we got to fight. Well, I misspelled that. But we got to fight like the battle's up to us. We got to fight like it depends on God and us. It's God's sovereignty. It is our human responsibility sometimes to fight. You see here what happens. Moses tells Joshua, and it says in verse 10, Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill, so that it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, but when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. This is showing that their dependence was on God. So like I said, I didn't auto-correct that. But we gotta depend on God, and we got to pray to God like everything depends on God, but then sometimes we got to fight like it all depends on us. We got to put forth effort. Are we going to win? No, God's going to win it for us, but we can't just be here. Some people say, well, just let go and let God. That sounds good, but sometimes if we just let go and let God, we get into all kinds of trouble while we're waiting on God to help us. Sometimes if God's got us working with him so we don't get in more trouble. Have you noticed every time they get a break, they go to grumbling against God? God's got them busy. He's like, y'all work, but here's what you got to do. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on the standard, on this. And here we see that when Moses got tired and his hand come down, they started losing. Part of this had to do with God's sovereignty. When he's holding the staff up or the standard or the banner, when he's holding it up, that means God's sovereignty is over this battle and all the people involved in it. Y'all understand that? It's a picture. It's a symbolism of God's power, his sovereignty over the whole battle. And when his hand starts coming down, the forces of darkness, the world, Amalek, they start winning. So Moses it says his arm got weary. Guess what? You can't fight all these battles by yourself. I don't care even the preacher how strong you are. You need help. So listen to what it says. It says that they took a rock and they set Moses on the rock. Now you say, well, that was good. Poor Moses was tired. You know why they set him down? So when he's holding up his hand, Aaron could lock his hand right here and hold his elbow. And her on the other side could lock his hand and hold his elbow. God sent two men to help Moses. They was resting while they was helping Moses rest. You see how God is fighting a battle for them? He helped them hold him up high. God helps us every day lift Jesus Christ up, to lift the cross up. God does something in our life every day so we can just see his greatness. This morning I was thinking about preaching this, and I've had a lot of things going on this week every time I preach something like this, I'm like, Lord, this is not really fair, but it won't fair that I did that to you and you did save me, because every time I preach about something, then I end up getting, it happens to me, and I don't do good at it, right? And this morning I was thinking about Amy coming and C.T. Townsend and that song, Didn't I Walk on Water? And I was playing that song, and I just thought about how many times God has delivered me from something and how far he's brought me. And all we got to do is keep our eyes on the prize and keep doing what God's called us to do. Follow Jesus, and he'll win the battle for us. Here, they hold Moses' hand up. They put it under him. He sat on the rock. They supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. It says here, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek in verse 13 and his people with the sword. It said that Moses' hands were steady to dark. They fought to dark, fought all day long, and in the end, God defeated their enemies for them. So when we come into a battle, first of all, we got to gather believers around us. Second of all, we need to fight like it all depends on us, but we need to trust God, depend on God, pray like it all depends on us. A lot of commentators says, well, they don't really say that Moses prays. This is not about prayer. This is about him holding up the staff. It is about him holding up the staff. But everywhere along the way, we see when something goes wrong, Moses cries out to God. So by now, as the readers of Exodus, we ought to say, when Moses does something, he's already cried out to God. God, what do you want me to do next? This wasn't Moses' idea. I'll hold up the staff. God, he'd been praying. So we need to pray like it's all up to God, and then still fight like it's all up to us, and depend on God when we get tired, when we get weary. God's going to lift us up. God's going to take us through. God's going to bring us to win. And then, when we win, we need to remember and remind others to fix their eyes on Jesus. Look what he says right here. They've won the battle. It's over. You know, when we win battles and things is going, I don't know about you now, this might just be my fallen condition, but when I've gone through a real tough time and kind of win, you know, and it's over, I think, I deserve to sit down. A lot of times, you know, I like to reward myself with a cheeseburger. That's my favorite food group. But you know, if we ain't careful, we'll be thinking, I deserve this. That's when we need to stop right then and say, no, my God deserves praise for bringing me through this. I didn't do this. I just got to watch him work. I got to watch his power. I got to watch his sovereignty. I got to watch him use other believers, and I got to watch them grow by helping me. I got to grow by being humble enough to ask other people to help me. That's about God working in our lives. That's about God doing things. Sometimes we just got to sit down and ask somebody else to help hold our hands up and help us all exalt God. God tells him to write in this book. It's some dispute whether this is talking about the first five books here a few years ago. There's some people smarter than everybody since the 1400 BCs, and they decided that the first five books of the Bible wasn't written the way after Moses. Well, I believe since God keeps telling Moses to write this stuff down, I still think Moses wrote this. Amen. He told Moses to write this. He says, write it in a book as a memorial. In other words, so you will remember it. Write it down. And then he says, and recite it to Joshua. Why? They defeated Amalek, but it wasn't the whole nation. It wasn't the whole army. They was going to continue fighting them. Well, I beat this temptation today. I beat this sickness today. Guess what? It's probably coming back. You need to remember that God delivered you last time. God will deliver you this time. God is our victor. God is our banner. God is our victory. Jesus is our victory. We need to remember where he's brought us from and where he's carrying us. Hey, we've been delivered from sin and we are on the way to heaven. He's getting us ready for that. And he says, you recite this to Joshua. And the reason you need to write it down is a memorial. Joshua is not going to be around forever. He needs to recite it and give it to the next generation. Why? Because God is going to fight against Amalekites for generations. It's a long time before this war is over. A couple of times it's the Israelites' fault. God says, wipe them all out. Did they do it? No. They saw some stuff they wanted. Saul come along. They had a king. He was supposed to wipe them all the way out. It was going real good that he decided to capture the king and show everybody how great he was because he had captured the king of the Amalekites. And then he saw all them extra sheep and goats, and he hid some of them. So he didn't wipe out everything. Finally, David wiped them out. But for generations, the Israelites would be fighting this same battle over and over. So God tells Moses to make a memorial, write it down, and recite it to Joshua that one day God will blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Hey, this won't always be here. One day this problem, this thing you're going through, it's going to be gone. Sometimes it'll be gone for good. Sometimes it might reoccur. Same God that delivered you last time will deliver you this time. Same God that delivered you last time will eventually deliver us. But we've got to fight. You know, the Lord can heal us, but we still got medicine and we still have to be tough. We still got to work. We got to trust the Lord. We got to do the things the Lord calls us to do. Same thing in spiritual warfare. You might have something going on with your family or a loved one. The Lord is working in there, but it might be you standing strong in the Lord that is an example to them. You know, it'd be nice if we could just tell everybody what to do and they'd change and do it our way and we'd get along. You know, that'd work good. And I don't want to disappoint you, but I have learned it don't really work that way. And sometimes God says it is the other person, we are there for their sanctification. That doesn't mean we can save them. It means we got to keep doing what God's called us to do, even if somebody else is not. So one day they say, well, they really must believe in God, or they'd have given up by now. We need to remind people not to give up as he reminded Joshua here. And so as he reminded Joshua not to give up, Moses built an altar. Anytime they built an altar, that was a time of thank you, Jesus. You know, we often ought to think of church as an altar when we come in here on Sunday mornings. You know what it is? Thank you, Jesus, for what you've helped me with this week. You know, we come to church because of an attitude of gratitude. We come to thank God. And he named it, the Lord is my banner. You know, in Proverbs 21:31, it says, the horse is made ready for battle, but the victory is the Lord. The victory is the Lord's. You know, the Lord got them ready to fight, but the Lord gave them that victory. Also, in Isaiah, it tells us, then in that day, talking about the end days, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal or as a banner for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. As we think of this and as we look forward, we need to think about Moses. Moses represents a type of Jesus, a type of David that led the Israelites to peace all around them during David's time when he was battling and warring these nations. God's purpose was to prepare the Israelites and make them a nation that stood for the next 1,400 years, so through them Jesus Christ would be born. And he says, through Jesus and through the Israelites, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Moses was interceding between God and the people. And as he was interceding, we see that this banner, this idea of holding something up, is what they use in battle. Soldiers have always had a battle plan. And in that battle plan, they use a flag, a banner, or a standard. They hold it up. Why? It gives them identity. It gives them identity. Hey, I'm on that side. Also, it gives them a rally point. We rally around. Hey, America has lost this in the last two generations. They're not proud to be Americans. They're not proud. I'm not saying everybody, but we don't have that enthusiasm that used to. We would rally together to be proud of who we are. But in Christ, as Christians, we need to rally together. We need to do more than wear T-shirts and necklaces. We need to rally together and say, the victory is the Lord. The Lord is my banner. He's my battle banner. Hey, we're united around him. Why? Because when Moses is holding this up, just like the serpent later on in chapter 21 of Numbers, he's holding it up. It represents God's presence. Also, it represents God's power and purpose. Hey, God's purpose will not fail. When you're in battle and you got this banner and you're leading it forth and you see the troops following after it, guess what? We got a purpose. What is it? We're going to win. We're going to protect. We're going to defend. We're going to win. God's purpose was for Israel to become the family that would bless all the other families on the earth. His purpose was Israel would stand, and through them Christ would come. Also, all his promises to Israel be realized in the last days, in the new heaven and earth. Also, during the millennium, they'll get all these promises. And so when Moses is holding up his hand and interceding for them, it gave them a place when the battle got out of control or they got confused, they could come back, they could look at that, and they could come back, get more instructions from Joshua. They could also come back there and reorient and regroup to go back out. And also we see that God's protection, as they looked to that staff for protection, brought them victory. And in the same way, we see in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that Jesus is able to save us forever, those who draw near to God through him, since he is always living to make intercession for us. God is making intercession for us through Jesus. Jesus is standing there with us. So what do we need to do when battle comes? In chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, verse 2, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you don't grow weary and don't lose heart. In the end, Jesus wins. And if we're with Jesus, we win. It's that simple. So, hey, when battles come, we got to depend on God. We need to bring other believers. We need to gather them to fight that spiritual battle with us, or physical battle. Also, we need to pray and depend on God like it all depends on him. But we also need to fight like it all depends on us. Lord, I'm gonna give all this effort. That's why Paul talks about in Philippians that we strive together. That word there means that we're in the ditch together, digging the ditch, and we're sweating. I know some of y'all have worked in construction and all. Guess what? You know, you get them rings around your neck from the dirt you work so hard. When you work like that with somebody, y'all get to be friends. Y'all get to depend on each other. And that's what he's talking about when we gather other believers around us. But we need to, most of all, fix our eyes on Jesus. I've said this before. Aunt Mildred called me up her house when we first moved back here, and she gave me a little thing, and I kept it in that little Toyota truck for 12 years, and it's still on my garage door when I sold that truck here 2 years ago. She says, I want you to pray this every morning. Put it on your sun visor. When you go towards Wake Forest, when you get down there to the lake, you'll put your sun visor down because the sun comes up in the east. And every morning when I put that down, that thing says, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but me and you are going to handle it together. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you now, Lord, I just thank you for this day. And I know everyone here has got something going on in their life. We all daily face the struggles that was brought about from Genesis chapter 3. Sin entered the world and brought all kinds of chaos, sickness, confusion, Lord, clutter, all kinds of things come with that. And Satan uses all those things to attack us from behind when we least expect it. Lord, I just pray this morning that whatever they're going on, they'll fix their eyes on you. That, Lord, they'll know that you're the author and perfecter of our faith. That, Lord, you prepare us for battle, but the victory is yours. That, Lord, they'll just trust in you. And Lord, that each of us would make relationships with other believers so we got somebody that we can call when we really need help. Lord, I just pray that each of us would want to be that person that if somebody is going through something, they could call us and gather us to rally with them, to fix our eyes on Jesus and battle through till Jesus gives them victory. If you're here this morning, there's two kinds of people in this passage. The Amalekites didn't trust God. They leaned on their own understanding, their own strength, and they took and fought on their own. And then there was the Israelites who trusted God. You hear and you've been going through life trusting yourself, and you might be trusting yourself to do the right thing or be good and get to heaven. The Bible's clear, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus and know that you're battling against sin and rebellion in your life. You ask Jesus to forgive you, and he'll forgive you for anything you've done, and he'll help you start living the life that God wants you to live. It's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've not lived life your way. I've been living life on my own terms. I believe Jesus lived on this earth the life I should have. He was sinless to show me that a true, true believer in God must obey. Yet he was without sin, and he died in my place. And you buried him and raised him so I know I could be forgiven. Lord, please forgive me. Give me a new life. And Lord, I'll fix my eyes on you as battles come my way. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen, amen. Kind Father, I just pray for everyone else here. Lord, I know that we all go through struggles. Even myself this week, I caught myself in a spiritual struggle, and Lord, I tried everything before. I tried prayer. I don't know why. Lord, I know better. But Lord, we all do that sometimes. And Lord, we know as we wait on you, it's a time that we get to draw closer to you. So I pray that my brothers and sisters here would commit right now. I'm asking you just to say, Lord, remind me to fix my eyes on Jesus. Remind me to pray because the battle depends on you. Then remind me, Lord, to take action as if I had to do it all. Lord, thank you for working with me to bring me safely home to heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Amy if she'll come and close us out with a song.
Facebook put up a thing about the scripture in the Psalms, I believe is where it's at, when joy comes in the morning. And when God takes you through the battle, and he brings you out of the storm and says, peace be still, that's when that joy comes in the morning. Amen? So I want to sing this song, and I know some of y'all are familiar, but it's the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I know you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life, sing with me. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing with me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Give him a hand, praise in the house this morning.
Amen. Just this week, you know, Brother Jesse had been waiting on some results because the doctor was worried and had him do more blood tests. And then they just called him out of the blue on Monday morning because they didn't ever call him on Friday and told him to hurry up and get to the hospital because he could have a heart attack any minute. And Jesse got down there and his potassium's real high. And, you know, the doctor come in and really, you know, kind of caught Jesse off guard. He's going to be there 2 or 3 days and probably have to be on dialysis and all this because it was giving him some medicine, but he'd been on the wrong medicine and the wrong diet with that medicine. A lot going on there, and I mean, you know, it really bothered Jesse. And but anyway, we was praying that the medicine would work, because they said that was probably just temporary, that the medicine would work, you know, and we left. And I called to check on Jesse just the next day at lunchtime, and the doctor had just come in and said that the levels had come down, and they was going to let him go home. So, and Jesse called me, I mean, really emotional, because he's like, my God is so good. You know, what I thought was the worst, I knew he's going to see me through it, but, I mean, he fixed it in less than 24 hours. I mean, he's still got to go on some things, but he's home. And you know, the Lord will see us through whatever's there. And also, I just got a text while I was preaching. A.J. Ammons, evidently, I don't know, some of y'all might know him, he was killed in a four-wheeler accident, and so several churches sent that out to pray for his family. I think he's got a wife and some kids. So, and y'all might know him over that way around Deep River. So just keep him in your prayers also. Anything before we dismiss? All right. I'm going to ask Pastor James if he'll close us in prayer.